Our scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. I will end our Advent sermon series today with the final scene in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Clarence had helped George see that his life had meaning, that his life had purpose, and things that seemed unsurmountable were not that way at all. George ends up back at his house, and there are scores of people coming from all around the community gathering there at their house. They had heard about the $6,000 that was lost. The $6,000 was not actually lost, but old man Potter ended up with it, because Uncle Billy left it at the bank that he owned, so he picked it up and kept that. Mr. Potter could have easily given the money back to George and would have, you know, none of this stuff would have taken place, but that's not how Mr. Potter rolls, so he kept the money for himself. And he hoped that there would be a scandal, and he hoped that George Bailey would end up in jail so that he could then get everything in town, own everything there. So that's what he was hoping for. The people from the community gathered there at the house, and they were donating money, and they were bringing jars full of coins and dollar bills and things like that, and they were dumping them into this big thing, and all the people from the community were doing that. They were bringing what little savings they had, anything that they could gather together, they were bringing there and donating that to George Bailey, because George had enriched all of their lives by the things that he had done for them, and they in turn were just returning that that favor and that love that George showed them. They were returning that to him, so they were giving to George out of love. And even Sam Wainwright, who was kind of a, I don't know, he's kind of a character, sent a telegram saying that he would extend George $20,000 to get back on his feet or resolve any issues that there may be. Finally, his brother Harry comes to the door of the house. He had just flown there through a snowstorm. He opens up the door and grabs a glass of champagne, and he proposes a toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town. So the question today is, what makes us rich? Mr. Potter believed that money was the deal. He was the richest man in town, and from that standpoint, I guess he was rich from a financial standpoint. And as a society, I think we have largely bought into that. We are driven by money nowadays. People measure the worth of others by how much money they have or how much money they make and things like that. So that is what's important now. Mr. Potter was a very rich man, but he was also a very angry and a very bitter man. There was not a lot of love inside Mr. Potter. He was angry. He was mean-spirited. George Bailey was a man of character, and he cared about the well-being of the people in Bedford Falls. And George Bailey had many friends in the community, and at the end of the movie, they were all gathering there to support him. And Clarence's parting words to George were, he put an inscription in his Tom Sawyer book and left it there. And it said, "No man is a failure who has friends." So what makes us rich, in fact, is love. That's what makes us rich. And soon Christmas will be upon us, and Christmas presents are great. They're all wonderful to get presents and things like that. But it's the love behind the gifts that is really the important thing that we really treasure. And at Christmas, we celebrate the gift of Jesus Christ. But it is really the love behind that we really celebrate. It's the love of God that we are drawn to during this time. In our text today, I could focus on Mary or Joseph, but the story today is really not about Mary and Joseph, but it is about God and what God has done and what God continues to do in our lives and in this world. First of all, it says that God is involved in this world. In verse 18, it says, "She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." Now, as a pastor, I have this desire to explain everything. That's kind of how I am. Part of SCI, I have to take all these tests to evaluate me, to figure out who I am. So I take all these tests. I've taken 3 of them now, I think. I go online, I take these tests, and it gives me some feedback and tells me who I am. It says I'm introspective and kind of introverted. I knew that. It said that I like to learn new things. I kind of knew that. It says I like to explain things and I like to fix things. I kind of knew that. That kind of sums me up quite well. So I'm glad to know that these evaluations are able to tell me who I pretty much knew who I was to begin with. But that's a good thing. So I could get caught up in the details of this story and try to explain things. That would be my natural course to do such things. But I don't think that's really the point of this story. I mean, people can debate the virgin birth and things like that till the end of time, and that's all well and good. But Matthew doesn't get into those details. He simply throws it out there. He doesn't try to explain things. He simply tells us that God is involved in this in some way. And the joy of Christmas is to allow God to break into our world and break into our lives once again. Not to explain things, but just to simply allow God into our lives to experience the peace and the love that he brings to our lives. So what is the result of God breaking into this world and breaking into our lives? Verse 21 says, "You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to remove any barrier that separates us from God. It is the gift of salvation that has been offered to us. But like the gifts under the Christmas tree, we have to receive that gift. We can't let the gift sit there. It does us no good to let it sit there. I don't know how many of you let gifts sit under the tree. I don't do that. I open them up to see what's in there. The gift of salvation is something that we have to receive, and we have to receive that through faith. That's what we are called to do. So this gift of salvation isn't something that is far off and experienced somewhere down the road. Verse 23 says, "They shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And that is a very remarkable promise. It isn't the promise of some distant God who sort of wound up the world like a clock and sort of stepped back and let time tick away until the time of the end time comes along. He is involved in our world. He is with us in this world. And unlike other religions in this world, we are not to so much as to make our way up to God. The Christian faith says it's the other way around. God actually comes to us. That's what the main point of the Christian faith is, that God come to us in Jesus Christ to be with us. So that's what the Christian faith proclaims. And indeed, God is with us. The birth of Jesus helps us realize the wonder of God's love and the love that God has for us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And God breaks into our lives through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has come to be with us up close and in person, in life and in death, and even in life beyond death. We are not alone. God is with us in every phase of life. There's nothing that separates us from God. Death doesn't even separate us from God. The Apostle Paul certainly says that. That doesn't separate us from God. God is with us always. So the season of Advent is about expectation. It's about the expectation of an encounter with a living God. And we desire salvation, but I think what we really desire is not so much salvation itself, but what is behind salvation. We desire the love of God that is behind salvation. The love of God is behind all things. And that's what we really desire, is to experience the love of God in our lives. It's a Wonderful Life is a story about the miraculous. There are many miraculous things that took place in that movie. Clarence, the angel that showed him many things, was kind of a miraculous thing. And even George's wife, Mary, at the end of the movie, when all the people are bringing money to the house and things like that, and everybody's gathered around, she says, "It's a miracle." Like George Bailey, we believe that there are some things in life that are simply insurmountable. And we see that there might be no hope for a particular situation. But Christmas is the season of miracles. And I believe miracles certainly do take place. The mystery of the incarnation is a miracle. But the story doesn't end there. Some of you have experienced miracles in your life. And it's not so much the miracle itself, but it's the love that is behind that miracle that sort of ties everything together and binds everything together. And if you're asked to explain that miracle to somebody, you really have a difficult time explaining it. It's difficult to explain that. It's difficult to explain the love of God in that situation. It's hard to do, especially to people who don't have faith. Because if you don't have faith, it's going to be very difficult to see those things. You see it as, oh, just chance, or just some really strange thing that happened, or luck, or whatever you want to call it. They see it as something different. But as people of faith, we know a bit different. We know what is really going on. And we experience those things. And it is our call to be witnesses of those things in the world. Even though there are skeptics and things like that out there, we are called to profess these things, especially during this time of year, that there is hope in this world. There are miracles that take place. There are things that seem insurmountable, but they are not insurmountable. God can do all things. He can work through all things. So all we can do is accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, embrace it, embrace the love that God offers us that is behind that gift of salvation, and participate with God in proclaiming the good news to this world. I was listening to Louis Armstrong this week on the radio. The song always comes up, seems this time of year. And it really is a wonderful world, like he's singing in the song. As the movie A Wonderful Life shows, life is, in fact, a wonderful life. Life itself is a wonderful thing. But the most wonderful thing of all is the love of God that is behind all of this. That is the most wonderful thing of all. And there's nothing that can separate us from that love. That's what Paul says. In life, in death, life beyond death, nothing separates us from God. God is always with us, and He will always be with us. Throughout all eternity, He will be present to us, and His love will never end for us. And that is a very hopeful thing. In a world that needs hope right now, that is something that we can proclaim, that the love of God does not end. It does not go away. Things in this world fade. Things in this world break down. But God does not fade away or break down or things like that. So in this season of miracles, I invite you to see things anew and see where God is active in your lives, because He is active. Just look around and see what He is doing and understand that God loves each and every one of you very much, and He is with each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.